Let us pray. O God, grant us that power which can only be known in proclaiming your name. Amen. So do what you will with this gospel, and there are many things that you can do with this gospel, but let it not be said that Jesus, well, let it be said that Jesus wasted bacon. And a lot of it. Which, you know, my family has been deferring on Father's Day until today, so I figured some dad jokes would be all right. All joking aside, this is quite a heavy gospel, quite a serious passage. And I was thinking this week about the passage, and a friend shared a picture with me of a portion of a hiking trail out west where, because the trail was deteriorating into scree and rocks and gravel, that some chain link fence had been buried over top of the gravel to hold it in place. And the picture of this trail was a close-up of one particular rock in the center of the path where clearly hikers over the decades had stepped. And as you looked at the rock, you could see the indelible marks of the chain link fence that had eroded into the rock itself, leaving it looking geometric and man-made. Small steps, incredible power exerted in small drops over time, transforming the face of a stone. Powerful forces. I was telling the story this morning I think I've actually shared with you, there's a piece of rock on my home island, a sheer limestone face near the road that has been eroded smooth by the passage of glaciers over time, glaciers that are no longer there anymore, glaciers that carried boulders sideways along the face, boring lengthwise tunnels through the rock, giving it the appearance of an inverted ocean's face. Powerful forces exerted over time. This morning, in the gospel lesson, powerful forces are at play. Did you pick up on those powerful forces? This man that Jesus encounters on his first step into the land of the Gerasenes, we are reported by Luke, is a demoniac, a man who is living homeless among the tombs and the graves. Pretty dark and scary story beginning. This is a man who has experienced powerful forces in his internal life, forces that pushed him out of his own community, the force of fear, fear of something different and strange and uncontrollable. He's experienced the forces of loneliness that have driven him to the edge of the wild, to live alone. He's experienced the forces of inner turmoil as literally thousands upon thousands of voices dominate his mind. He has felt the powerful forces of the surrounding Roman Empire holding his people in check and in place. In fact, today, when we hear this passage, scholars tell us that when Jesus introduces himself to the man, to the Gerasene demoniac, and bids him to share his name, and the man doesn't reply, but the forces within him, things beyond his control, speak out. They say, "We are legion." Legion would have been an easy flag to run up the pole for everyone listening. Speaking of Roman oppression here. For legion was larger than a garrison, it was 6,000 soldiers. This man speaks. He not only speaks out of his own internal turmoil, he speaks out of the political context of his day. He is held in thrall to powers within and without that are forces to be reckoned with. Powerful forces applied sometimes slowly over time can shape stones and rocks, resurface whole landscapes, can twist communities, can shape cultures, can define laws and peoples. We heard about that this week. I don't know about you. I'm ashamed to say that as a young white man growing up in this wider American life, I only in the last few years became aware of this thing called Juneteenth, a celebration of liberation, hardly mentioned in my high school and junior high sociology and civics classes. But we're now becoming aware, some of us who weren't, of what that means. Of course, what it would mean to know that after hundreds of years of powerful forces acting on our society and on a people, shaping who we are as a nation and shaping who they are as a people, extracting resources and dollars to the tune of billions and even trillions through the taking of life, through the erasure of humanity, to be able to celebrate liberation from powerful forces. Would that we could all lift our voice in song for liberty at moments like that. And so this week, we heard on the news as a panel of speakers, artists, and politicians, and religious leaders, even our friend Eugene, husband of our interim organist, Sonia, went to testify before the House to tell the stories of the legacy that lives on to this day in our being, the indelible marks that we still carry from slavery, the witness and testimony. Where are we now as a people shaped by that? And I was drawn, as I mentioned in our forum just before now, to the words of Ta-Nehisi Coates, who spoke eloquently and beautifully, as he often does. And his closing comment was in response to not one individual, but to a sentiment that lives alive and well in our people to this day, that slavery is something in the past that we've moved on from. And he said, would that we could not only be defined by our somethings, but that we'd be courageous enough to claim them as our whole of who we are. Powerful forces that have shaped us for good and for ill. We do not just get to celebrate those moments of great justice. We must also carry within us the wounds, as that man who confronted Jesus on the shores of the lake, when he showed him his body, it was undoubtedly scarred and marked by the shackles he had broken to be free and to live in the wilderness. His body was undoubtedly changed by living homeless amongst the tombs. He was twisted and contorted by powerful forces, but it was who he was. And Jesus met him on that ground, as a man shaped by those forces, and meets us here on this ground as people shaped by these forces. This morning, people are celebrating across the country and in our city, Pride. Yet another example of it, honoring that there are those among us who have been shaped so indelibly by the darkness of our culture that rejects people based on the identity of their sexual orientation and whom they love, and yet have found cause to still live, who have been called out from the tombs, who have been liberated from the legion of demons that would be put upon them, to claim that they are beloved of God. We also share in that shaping. We share in the powerful forces that have led a community within us to need to celebrate that they're proud they even exist. We need to join in both in grief and in joy that that is where we've arrived. This morning, we are people shaped by powerful forces. And Jesus lays out a model for us. He confronts the Gerasene demoniac and he calls forth, "What is your name?" And the man who has known nothing but fear and enmity falls on his face before Jesus and says, "Do not cast us back into the abyss," knowing the power that is in the name and in the body and in the presence of the soon-to-be crucified and resurrected one. He knows, and he falls, and he begs for mercy. And Jesus casts out the demon into those pits. And everyone is in awe at what this man has. For you see, the world is enthralled to powerful forces. Racism, sexism, and homophobia. The politics of fear and divisiveness. The kind of misogyny that we hear exercised on our airways daily. The kind of hatred that is proclaimed from the highest pulpits. But there is a power, my friends, that is far greater. And you have that power. For you, my friends, have been drawn together into the body of Christ. And you have been sent out into the world as that presence of power. For in the name of Jesus, we can confront the demons of all those things that have so shaped our communities and shaped our lives, the darkness of our world, we can rebuke and cast out and confront. You have power to shape this world. You have power in you. Do not shrink from that power. Do not hold back that power. Last week when Craig preached about the Trinity, he gave us this image of the divine as holy in relationship with itself, a community that overflows in love for the world, giving us our essential selves, the divine nature in each of us that only exists in community and right relationship. And today, when we see that passage of Luke, Jesus has cast out the demons from this man, and we see him restored to right relationship, at peace, and in his right mind, at last, made whole, at home in his body, in the presence of God. That is the power of Jesus. That is the power that we experience at this altar when we are brought together and bound into the body. For as Paul says, In Christ, there is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither gay nor straight. These identities are not obliterated, but they are pulled together in right relationship. For such, my friends, such is the power of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.